مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. مفتي حسن علي سليمان، hope you well this morning.
وعليكم السلام. الحمد لله، everything fine here in Karachi. How about you in South Africa?
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله، all is well. I've heard, I've seen another in an article, another 23. Okay, this is not 23. This is a different amount, but there is another group of white Afrikaner South Africans, and they have arrived in the United States. So this, they're moving on with this lie, and perhaps these are people who they don't have any future. So they said, okay, let's go try to be a refugee in America. What I've read this morning is interesting. And it's proving to show that how the United States is losing its credibility in so many ways. There is a growing percentage of people, these are American citizens, and they feel that now enough is enough. They can't stay there. They came there for a reason. Maybe their parents came there, and then that's how they became citizens. But there's a growing trend, and this is worrying the Americans. CNBC, they did a survey, and it was conducted 2024. So the results, of course, comes out at the end of the year. So they reveal that 116,363 Americans, they are planning to leave the United States. They want to settle abroad. And they said there is a worrying trend for this so-called American dream. Some say they are moving to Portugal. That's become their number one destination. And this, it says, this massive migration highlights an unprecedented crisis of confidence in the American system. And this is traditionally seen, and you'll speak to South Africans, and it's like a dream. Can we go to America, please? Can we just go visit? Can we go see? Can we go to Disneyland? Can we do all of these things? And then you come to realize that what is there really? And this was, I know my father said, why don't you go visit? We shared this previously, and just go check it out and see what it is. I make shukr today, alhamdulillah, they declined my request. And what a long procedure. I shared it last time. I'm not going to go through that. Just you do that whole thing, purchase that SIM card for 200 to 300 rand those days. That must have been in 2008 or 2009. You purchase all of that and go through all of that just for that person to say to you, he bangs his hand on the desk and he says, declined. And you say, okay, all right. I did all of this here just for you to say this. At that time, you are upset, you're furious because you don't want to, you know how much of sacrifices you went through. But what does Allah Azza wa Jal say to you? That's what Quran Sharif does. It gives you that motivation. It gives you that courage in times of weakness, in times of sadness, depression. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَوْ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Sometimes you dislike something, but it's good for you. So now you see the benefit. And this, what they're saying here is the increasing crime and family security concerns. This is their new and renewed worries and concerns of the driving factors of the emigration. So when I looked at this, I said, but South Africa was always known for, we spoke about this yesterday also, South Africa's crime rate and people don't want to move here. When they come here, they think it's all crime and the rest. But look at the U.S. now. Just yesterday, Mufti Saab, you probably heard of it, Colorado, that someone took those one of those cocktail bombs, Molotov cocktail bombs, and they threw it at pro-Israelis. And many were injured thereafter. So if it was a Muslim, it would have been mentioned first. So I don't think it was a Muslim. Did you hear about this, Mufti Saab?
I heard about it. Allegedly, he yelled free Palestine.
Yes.
His name is Suleiman.
Okay.
That's a little scary. I don't know if I can go back. They might arrest the wrong Suleiman. So yeah, and they needed that. They needed that diversion. That's another diversion. Of course, when someone who's supporting a Muslim, whether Muslim or not, we don't know yet. Right now, I don't know yet. Right now, but of course, they have to say something like this. Before it was always. Before the person shot the people, he said, Allahu Akbar, you know, or some other, you know, Islamic phrase, so that people can identify if he's not Muslim, then he's definitely been brainwashed by the Muslims, all right? But when the IDF, when the Jewish army, when they kill somebody, they don't say anything, okay? And it's always, well, it's alleged, or they misfired, or there's some excuse, but for the Muslim side, it's always clear that they must yell Allahu Akbar or Free Palestine or something like this. So the people got really upset over a couple of people being hurt and some things being destroyed. But during the course of the year, maybe you can Google it: abortion clinics. Places that have abortions, they get bombed more than this. Okay, and no one talks about that. Okay, the right to life, people believe that they have a right to life. Let the baby, reach its term, and don't kill it. Okay, and they're very violent people. Okay, they blow up clinics and things like that. So, but they're not concerned about the. All the women that have died in Palestine, all the children that have died in Palestine in the last 20 months, thousands, tens of thousands have been killed, and there's nothing in the newspaper but act in America supporting, them, which we don't agree with, but it's there, and it's got full coverage from every newspaper.
Mufti Saab, did you hear that clip I sent you yesterday about this president of Burkina Faso?
No, I didn't listen to it yet.
Okay.
He's news lately. My friends in America, they're asking me about him. I'm surprised that Maulana Desai hasn't written anything about him. He's Muslim. But he's more of a pan-Africanist. He reminds me a lot of Gaddafi and the Muslim leaders back in the 1960s when Africa was trying to get its independence from the colonial powers. But yeah, he doesn't speak too much about Islam. But he had a letter that was written to the Pope, all right? When he kept calling the Pope the Holy Father. I had a big problem with that. But I don't know, again, I don't know too much about him, but he's hot news with blacks in America and with Muslims in America. Everybody wants to know what's going on over there with him.
Yeah, he's very vocal at the moment. And that speech, I won't lie, with if you look at it from just the African point of view, I've never heard of someone speaking so greatly about Africa, because on this point he makes sense, because he says you just bombarded with all of these news, BBC and the rest, and they always, that's what they're good at doing, is making you feel bad about your own country, your own continent. You can't do much. So that's how, much like in boxing, it is more about breaking the mental strength of your opponent. Once that's broken, it's easy to then overpower him, because now he doesn't have courage and the rest. So this is what they do, constantly try to make us look like we don't do, there's nothing. Bill Gates has announced, I don't know how much he's sending another million or billion again to Africa. And this year is making news. So when he does something good, it's just to gain all of his credit and see what a great person he is. But these are all strategies that you see. Many of these aid organizations, it's like an agenda that they have. It's not just money being given to you. And I don't say all, but on the whole scale, you see there's some agenda to it. And you take, you eat, you do, but there's some message at the back there. And this is why they're doing it. So there's many questions that can be raised about Bill Gates' new fund to South Africa or in Africa as a whole. When you have many people struggling there in your own countries. So here's the exact amount, $200 billion you'll be sending. And how much is it in rands? If you're looking at it, it's 3.6 trillion rands. Bill Gates, what a good man, eh?
Yeah, like I said, we've had a problem with him over here for years because we have diseases that can be eliminated by cleaning up the water system, like the hepatitis. Hepatitis kills thousands of Pakistanis every year, and 70% of Pakistan does not have clean water to drink, okay? But Bill Gates is only concerned about polio. Okay, where maybe 100 people out of 240 million will die. Okay, and so you give all the money for that, you know, all the praise for that, shaking hands and everything, and photo ops. But we need to clean the water system here. The thing is, the water for the sewage and the water for the drinking water, sometimes the pipes get mixed. Okay, so when you receive your water, your drinking water, it is brown. It has a smell. Okay, you cannot use it. All right, so that's been a problem since I've been here and before I came here. And no one's doing anything about it. No one has money for that. United Nations, Bill Gates, no one has money for that. But everybody has money for polio, so much so that two workers go together with the army or the police to make sure all the children are vaccinated. Okay, so come on, let's go to our water system there, clean this thing up.
that's what you can't understand, the root of the problem that you can't sort out. But Allah shows us that it's, if you speak of cleanliness, if you just reflect and you look back, sanitization, all of these things, how sanitized are they? You're going to ask these questions. Sanitized where? In the places that filth nobody wants to touch. That, in those places, come out. Nobody wants to look at, nobody wants to speak about those things. But, of course, there it's fine. We don't need sanitization. There you could just jerk off on the road. And
what is sanitization? In a hospital, it means cleaning something that is an alcohol base. So you're making it clean, but you're making it not just, according to Islam. We're backwards all the way around. We're backwards.
So what's the way forward? Like coming to work today, I was just thinking that these people, for you to rule Islam and to spread Islam again, to have a country that is owned, they've been planning this for years now. So what would it take for a leader? There's many people with courage, there's many people, but in your way, in your experiences, and many years of seeing this corruption in the world, in America, and then now you see it in Pakistan, the rest. How do you think that we as a Muslim Ummah can grow? As you, not just by name, just by numbers, billion, 2 billion, we don't want all of that. Proper Muslims and under the constitution of Allah Azza wa Jal, under the Sharia, how do we? What's your suggestion in this current time of this?
It's simple. It's not difficult. Just be Muslim. Okay, anybody that tries to do Islam, Allah has promised to help him, all right, and keep our feet firm, right? Just because we believe in him. So the help is with Allah, but we don't believe in Allah.
Mm.
Yeah, that is a problem. The root is, the problem is we don't believe in the deen that we have. Just like the Christian doesn't believe in Christianity and the Jews don't believe in Judaism, okay? And probably the atheist doesn't believe in what he believes in. Probably. So, again, just acting upon the deen, then you see such a big change when you act upon it. People are looking for the right answers, and all the answers are in Islam. You just have to look for it.
Hmm.
We're not motivated to look for it. I was, like I said, dragged into Islam. You know, I was looking for it. Allah brought me into it.
Mm.
But how many people who are born into Muslim families investigate Islam? Okay, you're Muslim because you were born Muslim. That's not enough to get you to the next world in a good way. You have to look at Islam like I looked at Islam. I compared it to Christianity and looked and every time I had a question, I could find an answer. There's an answer in Islam. That's much different than Christianity. Christianity, there's no hadith. There's no books of fiqh or anything like that. Even tasawwuf, there's no books of tasawwuf. Okay, it's just a book, a Bible. Some of it is the word of God. Some of it is the word of shaitan. Some of it is like poetry. Some of it is adult stories. All the raping and brother sleeping with sister and, you know, two sisters sleeping with their father, you know, all these things.
Hmm.
So when you look at it, and who can believe in a book like that? But so they say, what's the alternative? If I can't believe in Christianity, what's the alternative? Islam. Well, look at Gaddafi. Look at Saddam Hussein. Look at
Bin Laden.
Look at that. That's it. You see?
Hmm.
That's the answers, and that's the answers from Islam, from Muslims, also. That how do you know you're right, Hassan? I said that you're Sunni, Muslim, Hanafi, etc. How do you know? I say investigate, look and see what the Brahmi say. Does everything the Brahmi say, is it according to books of faith? Okay, is it according to the Quran? Okay, look at the Shias. Look, investigate. That's all you have to do. Investigate. You investigate, you'll be rewarded. Okay, but we don't do that. We don't feel we have to.
Mm.
I'm Muslim. I'm born Muslim. My grandfather was a hafiz, and you know, he'll do shafaris for us, and I don't have to work that hard. I'm just trying to get a good job, live in a nice neighborhood where there's very little crime. Okay, and live happily ever after. It's not going to happen.
Mm.
Or if it does happen, you're going to wake up to a rude awakening after you die. So fatal to me. Summa so fatal to me.
It's, as you've been saying, speaking now, it's just become like that. Khana, pina, and sona. Just eat, drink, sleep. And that's what the messages people are telling. They're saying that stop going into all of these things. You just be a good Muslim. Do what you have to do and carry on with your life. But that's not what Islam teaches. وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. What's that in Surah Al-Asr? Propagate, encourage the haq. Encourage the haq. And to encourage the truth, especially in this day and age, you need a lot of tolerance, perseverance, patience. So وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. Also encourage patience. So these aspects, as you mentioned, we haven't taken it seriously and objective. And it can only start when, of course, we have to start with ourselves. There's no doubt, there's no denial exactly about that. But it shouldn't limit you to that.
The song, The Man in the Mirror, you have to start with ourselves.
So.
Yeah, I don't like Michael Jackson, but the song, the title of the song and the meaning behind the song was exactly right. Okay, people are complaining, and he said, look at the man in the mirror.
Mm.
And that's yourself, right? He says, you change the man in the mirror, change yourself. So that's why. These 9 days, and we're trying to keep Rosa. Okay. And so I go to a store where I get my couture, I get my dates, okay, and other things. So I was asking the person, you know, behind the counter, is keeping Rosa, all right, during these days. He said, I can't. I said, why not? He's about 30 years old, this person. Never seen him in a masjid. Okay, in 4 years, I've never seen him in a masjid. But you keep him going. He said, no, I can't. It's too hot. I said, well, yeah, yes, brother, it's hot for everyone. Okay, but you're working in an air-conditioned store. Well, what's the problem? Did you see that kind of excuse? And I'm 7 years old and I'm doing it. And this guy's about 30 years old. And he cannot do it because it's too hot, although he's working in an air-conditioned store. So, yeah, how are we going to get better, bro? If the younger generation is like this, then what to expect in the future? I have three students who are studying Takasus, and I'm teaching them English. Before their Takasus classes start at 8 o'clock, I go to them at 7:15, 7:30, and I'm teaching them English. And one of the students asked that I want some water. I said, you're not fasting today? And he said, no. And I asked the other one, no, not fasting. I said, man, you are the students of, you've already finished Dasa Nizami. And by next year, you'll be a mufti. Okay? And you're not keeping Rosa in these days? So what about the common man? If they see you not fasting, why would a common man want to fast?
100%.
So this, and these are future. He's 24. Both of them are 24 years old. This is our future.
Yeah.
There we are.
Mic drop moment. I saw that on one of.
Mic drop moment.
I saw it on one of the headlines of one of the newspapers. Mic drop moment by someone. But just reflecting, going back to what you said about Michael Jackson. So he said, change the man in the mirror. So he went to change himself and put all of that plastic surgery. So I went to...
Yeah, he didn't change himself inside. He changed himself outside.
I went to...
White.
When we came to Pakistan for Jamaat Tabligh, this was in 2010, 2011. End of 2010 to 2011. So when you went to Bangladesh, you meet different people. I would like Pakistan, one thing that we, when they see a foreigner, like the children and everyone, they like amazed, like, who is this person? Like, they make you feel like you're some kind of a celebrity or something. So I'm like, but what do you mean? My ancestors, my grandfather is from the same country as you. But what I'm saying here is Bangladesh, one brother came up to me and he said, hey, come check here. Listen, I think Michael Jackson, I don't know when he died or whatever. But so he played something and he's saying, check, Michael Jackson, he became Muslim. He's singing now Nasheeds and all of this. So I said, okay, let's hear. So when he put it on, this is one of our South African, he sings all these Nasheeds and that, Zayn Bika. So I said, but this is not Michael Jackson.
Yes.
This is Zayn Bika from... He said, oh, okay, he didn't know. He said, sir. So this thing spread to so many corners of the world. Until today, people believe, they tell me, someone told me in this last week, that they framed Michael Jackson because he accepted Islam and he was going to come out and explain so many things. I don't know much of this information. I've never heard something like this. I said, let me ask Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman. Maybe he knows something. So I don't know if you know anything of this sort.
When he was in America, that rumor came out that he was Muslim. This is before I left. Okay, this is before 1994. The rumor was Michael Jackson has accepted Islam and he's going to build a $5 million masjid in California. Okay? All right. So we tried to find the source of this story. All right? That was always the headline. They never said what was the source. Finally, we found out that it was Michael Jackson's sister. She had a Jewish agent. Her talent agent was Jewish, and he didn't like Michael. Hmm. So he was trying to defame Michael by saying Michael had become Muslim.
Hmm.
Okay? So that spread all out all around America for a while. Then it died down.
Okay.
Then his brother, Jermaine Jackson, he did accept Islam, I think, in Saudi.
Okay.
He came back to America. He didn't change his name. Well, he changed his name, but he still used the name Jermaine Jackson.
Hmm.
And he still continued to dress, you know, like a kafir and, you know, open shirts and sexy dancing and everything. And so now people believe, oh, well, Michael can become Muslim. Maybe he will be Muslim. All right. So then he died. Michael died. And a rumor went out that a certain imam prayed his janaza.
Inna lillahi.
Prayed Michael Jackson's janaza. Yeah. So then Jermaine came out and said, no, my brother didn't accept Islam. I had taken him to masjids in Boston, and I take him other places, but he never accepted Islam, and no, there was no janaza prayed for him.
Hmm.
Okay. That's the real story.
Yeah,
he never accepted Islam.
We'll end off on this. Love makes you blind. So this is what people do. When they love someone too much, like Mandela, and people were, there's rumors, maybe, who knows? You know, like what this guy says, what's his name? Dr., they call him Al-Hanafi. He came out and started saying, no, that, you know, you can't just judge. So many people, after they, just before they died, took their last breath, they accepted Islam, but nobody knew about it. So what? How many people? Then we can't. We have to put everyone in the Muslim Qabristan. Of course, this we have to judge. You have to.
Before Islam, we used to say, "Don't make love behind the garden gate," because love is blind, but the neighbors ain't. So that's the story.
Okay.
That's my mic drop moment.
I will. We'll end.
Everyone is blind. When you're talking about love,
Alhamdulillah. Mufti Saab, we'll meet you tomorrow, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan for sharing with us and talking to us. Tomorrow we'll speak to you. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Inshallah. Wa alaikum assalam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.